The Old Testament reading is from Malachi 3, verses 1 to 5. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like refiner's fire or launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. The New Testament reading is from the second epistle by Peter, chapter 3, verses 8 to 14. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. As Christmas comes ever closer, we still have so many things to do, so many events to go to, so much to organize. We may not know where we find time to get everything done. And if we feel we have fulfilled all our obligations, then there's that niggly feeling that there must be something that we forgot to organize, that we haven't done the one thing that we definitely should have done before most businesses shut down for the Christmas break. And so we plan, we rush, we try to squeeze everything in. When we are so enmeshed in trying to organize this little span of our lives, a messenger that will suddenly appear with dramatic news is the last thing we would hope for. We may be even more dismayed if that messenger would tell us that we are not really good enough, that we cannot endure the day of the coming of our Lord. Something like that seems so old-fashioned that we quickly wave it aside. After all, we are more afraid of having forgotten to organize the ingredients for our Christmas salad than contemplating eternity. Still, when we have a breather, when we look at the world, when we see our divided society, when we see the violence and injustice in the world, then we think something really needs to be done about it. But what? And often after our wandering, we go back to our routine again. Sometimes, though, we may get angry at the shallowness of our fellow humans. Maybe that happens when a passion for justice comes over us. And then on some days, we may even realize that the same shallowness is also present in our own lives. Maybe one day long ago we cared, but we soon realized that our sudden bursts of conscience only got us into trouble and generally did not improve things, not for ourselves and even less so for the world. And so we continued our lives, expecting little to change. But what if the messenger calls us out of our organized lives, at least for some time? Maybe we then think that there should be a goal, and aim to the world. Maybe we realize that justice should be realized. Then the day of the Lord's coming is something to look forward to, because it would make this world a better place, not just then in the future, but also a better place now. For the day of the Lord would make sense of the now and here. Christians of old were looking eagerly towards the coming of the Lord. We are not as enthusiastic as they were. After all, those people who believed they lived in the end times generally were disappointed. Still, sometimes the fervor of the early Christians also rubs off on us, and we look forward to that day, maybe even as much as they did. We may look forward to it with some dread, but also sometimes with some curiosity. But even the writers of old could not put that clear hope into specific terms. They didn't tell us about the exact processes and the order of that coming. Rather, it will be a day when earth and heaven will be radically renewed and transformed. That much they made clear. So, in our time of busyness, can we also take a moment and fathom the wonder, the rapture, when Jesus we see, when indeed all our hopes, all our worries and sorrows, all our longings will be resolved in the wonder of God's love.